Hello, everybody. Welcome to Motherhood Relabeled, your weekly dose of making yourself and your own goals a priority.
This is actually a non-parenting podcast for all parents who don't want to be held back by the parenthood label. We believe that parenthood is part of us, but not the only thing that defines us.
We chat about all things juggling motherhood, business, and family life by pushing ourselves out of our comfort zones to pursue our own goals and hopefully inspire you to do the same.
It's a sort of therapy tool too, to help us and hopefully you become the best version of ourselves and therefore the best possible parent, partner, and friend. So let's dive right into this week's episode. Welcome back, everybody, and thank you for joining us on our third episode.
It's been three episodes already.
Yeah, great. Wow, there we go. And how's your week been, Vanessa?
Well, I had an exciting meeting this week, which I'm really excited to talk to you all about. So I actually spoke to a property investment coach. My partner and I, we've been talking about buying property for a while, but we've always been wondering in what capacity. So are we buying our family home? Are we buying an investment portfolio? Like, what's the strategy? What's the plan? And yeah, sometimes you do have to accept you can't be the expert in everything.
Yes, absolutely.
And sometimes you do need help. So we've reached out to this investment property coach. And yeah, we had a really good one-on-one session where we discussed a potential strategy for our goals. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so the next step would be to engage with them and start rolling out that strategy.
It's
super exciting. It's also scary because obviously with any coach, it's an investment, and an investment that, you know, hopefully pays off, and you do obviously believe in it paying off, otherwise you wouldn't agree to it. But every time you do make a big investment like that, it just feels scary
and nerve-wracking.
And it's because it's such a big growth jump for us to go there.
Oh, that's awesome. Very exciting. I'd love to hear more about it. Lots to share, I guess, there.
Yeah, we can even make a specific episode, I think.
Yeah,
That could be that'd really be great. Valuable because it's a process I think people don't know much about. Or most people don't. In fact, the guy shared with us only 0.5% of all Australians own three or more investment properties, which is on average what you need to retire comfortably.
That's right.
If you choose a property as a strategy to
create wealth,
to secure retirement. So it's interesting. And I do feel sometimes, am I too late to the party? I think that's definitely I believe work through, but that's exactly what he said. And it just felt empowering to hear that from an expert saying, no, actually, you've got really strong, really strong base to work off. And as long as you put a strategy in place and stick to it, within the next 10 to 15 years, we can work towards financial freedom, which is the ultimate goal. And
awesome.
Almost too scary to believe, too good. I have to still work a lot to make it happen, but
but having the plan in place is, making it's a great start, isn't it? Yeah, very cool.
What about you? What did you get up to this week?
Well, I continued birthday celebrations, of course.
I mean, 40 is a good reason to make it a birthday month rather
exactly.
a birthday week.
But we've had a great week with work and lots of new work going on and presentations and all sorts of fun things there. But we also booked our first overseas holiday for later this year, heading to Fiji, which is pretty exciting. And I think, it's one of those things, where do you go with a toddler and,
Fiji is a great destination. I've heard that on many podcasts, actually.
Yeah.
Talking about Fiji being a top destination for young children.
Definitely. And, I think I can manage a 4-hour overseas flight rather than, maybe a 14-hour flight to Europe. So we'll start small and see how we go and hope for the best. So that's later this year. So very exciting and lots of planning to be done there. But I'm looking forward to just having a relaxing time with the family.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's exciting.
It is exciting. Yeah. And so, for me, I love having something to look forward to, especially, travel. There's always that, thing that you're working to. So I think it gets you through.
Gives you an objective.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess in this week, this episode, we'd love to talk to you more about all things mindset, mindset in motherhood, in business, in family life, everyday life, and generally how we keep a positive mindset. And Vanessa, maybe you can start. How did you create the right mindset for you?
I think it's definitely something that's always work in progress, because managing your mindset while you're having a good time and everything goes well is usually the easy part. Mm. I think it's when things are challenging or you're facing adversity or you have to adapt. That's when, you know, you're really being tested with your mindset. And I have definitely been tested over the last year with my mindset and just the big life change that is becoming a parent. So I think I've done a lot of my work on myself over the last few months specifically to work on that, because I just felt my mindset wasn't the greatest, especially with regards to motherhood, and that affected everything else.
I guess it's a great realization too for you, totally. Right? When you kind of get to that point.
I just realized my mindset wasn't right. I wasn't approaching it the right way. So I thought, how can I change it?
And what do you do practically?
Well, I actually did a self-development course over 7 weeks that kind of really helped me establish a routine.
Yeah, awesome.
Like a daily routine with different sort of rituals that I would complete specifically with regards to the morning and the evening routines. And that has really helped me transform my mindset with regards to all areas of my life.
That's great.
So like some of the rituals I do, for instance, in the morning, I talked about that last time as well. I do usually exercise, which gives me, you know, that great rush of endorphins and just sets me off on the right foot. But I generally like to do activities in the morning that, you know, really fill my soul, like that lift me up.
Yeah.
So exercise is great, but then I go in the sauna and I usually practice gratitude in the sauna. Like I tell myself 3 things that I'm grateful for. I set my intention for the day. So I think that that has really helped me with a lot of the times I felt quite overwhelmed in the last few months with just everything that is the juggle of motherhood and still trying to work and define, you know, what my next goals were, etc. I felt quite overwhelmed. So setting one intention for the day really helps to make things manageable.
Yeah, cool.
Because then I go at the end of the day, if I've achieved that one thing, or even usually the intention I set is an action towards one of my goals that I'm working on. So if I only achieve that one thing, at least I've moved that one step closer to my goal. So I feel like fulfilled. I feel like I've achieved something. And
that's great.
That has really helped with feeling less overwhelmed. I also like to go to the beach sometimes in the morning, specifically when Theo naps and the weather is good. Because that just, like I just established that if I go to the beach at least twice a week and just get that half an hour of sun on my body, like the vitamin D, the vitamin C, it seriously is so good. The other thing I also do when I meditate in the morning is I really reflect on my personal values, and I almost repeat them on a daily basis just to remind myself what's most important to me. And that helps me prioritize my day or even making decisions, because as a mom and a business owner, like I think you make decisions, like a million decisions every day.
Oh, definitely.
And sometimes I really have
so many decisions in a day, isn't there?
Sometimes it's your ego that tells you to say yes to something. But I think, you know, every day when I establish that I've got 6 core values, and as part of that self-development course, actually, that's super helpful, because once you have those values, it's like, you know, the brands that we tell you, like we define their values and then you live by those values, right?
Yeah,
and
that's part of your blueprint.
That's right. It's the blueprint on what I base my decisions on. And that really helps me. Just last week as well, I turned down the project that would have been quite good in terms of money. But it just
didn't meet your values.
It didn't align with my values. Yeah. So I turned it down. And
good on you.
Yeah, that just helps me create a positive mindset and less stress, less overwhelm.
It's really important. I think that's definitely something to think about, isn't it? To help you make decisions.
Yeah.
If you kind of have those core values in place, then you don't even have to think, really.
That's right.
It's a gut feel too.
I like to even just repeat them in the morning, because then I remember them throughout the day as well. And it's never really something I could pinpoint down.
Do you want to give us a couple of what are your values? You don't have to give up all of them, but are a couple of your values?
My most important value is freedom, and freedom in a lot of different ways. But I guess the main thing around the value of freedom is that I want to feel like I am in control of my life. So I'm in control of my choices. I do obviously know that you can't control everything, but it's more around having the choice, you know?
Yeah.
So when I like to work location independent, I like to work with the clients I want to work with. I like to choose where I live, like all those things. So for every time my freedom is compromised, that's where I can really feel that I don't feel aligned.
Doesn't feel right.
That's right.
Yeah.
My second value is purpose. So I want my work to feel like it's my purpose and my passion. So I feel like I'm not technically working. Enjoying my passion and purpose.
Yes,
that's right. So
exactly.
It never really
works,
feels
not work.
Like, yeah, that's yeah. right. Then my third value is peace. So whatever I do needs to feel flowy and easy. Like it can't make me stressed or overwhelmed. I truly believe that when you do things that are right and meant for you, they don't feel hard. Even when it means like you have to learn something new and you have to put in some extra hours or whatever. It's not about that. Like working hard doesn't mean it's hard work.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's right. Then my other values are integrity. I do what I say and I expect everybody around me to do that. And otherwise they're never going to be in my close circle, because I highly value integrity. Family, of course, is another one. And independence. I think I've always been a very independent person since I'm a child, basically. And that's also the way I was brought up. But independence is super important to me. So Clément and I, for instance, like we're together for almost 11 years, but we still don't share finances. Like we have shared accounts where we work towards family goals, etc. But even like during this whole maternity, like when I took the year off, I had my own money always, because I cannot be dependent on anyone. I cannot.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's just
empowering, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Really cool. Wow, I love that. It's very cool.
Sorry, we went on a tangent there.
It's cool. I mean, it's interesting to find out what, your values are. And obviously, you know, lots of that would resonate with lots of people. But also, it's funny, it's you know, these days, even in business, you know, you do work with people and businesses who align with your own values. So, you know, I think more and more, if you're kind of picking your friends or people you'd like to spend time with, if they match your values and they align, then that's why things probably work out well.
100%.
And you have good friendships and relationships because your values align, even though that you may not know, but on an underlying...
It's a frequency, it's an energy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's
right.
Why,
I like that, the frequency.
Say, I vibe with that person or because of that.
Yeah.
But I do think it helps to be aware of them, and I've never really labeled them like this.
No.
Or that I had that specific list. So that has really helped
me. Own brand strategies, isn't it?
Doing my own brand strategy myself.
Love
but
it.
No, that has really helped. I do also work with like daily affirmations just to really strengthen that muscle, because I think naturally my mindset can be quite negative at times, and especially when don't things go to plan, because I am a natural control freak.
I get that too.
And then I have to really consciously make the effort to shift back. Most importantly, really, is healthy nutrition and movement. So I do feel that makes the biggest difference on my mental health.
And your energy levels as well. It's all hand in hand, isn't it?
100%.
Yeah. I think a lot of that, I mean, I resonate with a lot of that. I guess for me, you know, how do I sort of create my own mindset? And I think for me, it's actually being aware of negative self-talk and those critical comments that you kind of make in your head. And when you do recognize them, is actually trying to turn them into a positive. Somehow it makes you feel lighter, and, you know, it's okay. You know, for me, like saying things like, you know, could have been worse, you know, even though it's, that's probably not even the most positive, but you know, there's, it could have been worse and this is not so bad.
Yeah.
So it kind of gets you through. So I think, yeah, the positive mindset, and it's all work in progress. You're always trying to be as positive as you possibly can. But I think with mindset comes attitude and having the right attitude, and recognizing that I can do this. Or at least I can try. So I think, you know, that whole growth mindset of, you know,
failing forward.
Yeah, exactly. And you can do this, and maybe not now, but I'll get there. And yeah, so just generally positive thinking, being productive for me helps my mindset. And with that comes planning and managing my time, which, you know, can be still a struggle, and I'm still learning to manage my time better, especially when I have a kid thrown into that. You know, I'm trying to be as efficient as possible with my time, and that's often to my detriment, where I try and fit as many things as I possibly can before I have to be somewhere or whatever it might be. But I think, yeah, just that managing the time and, yeah, those little tricks that I do, I guess. And for me, that comes into writing lists and trying to get things out of my mind. But yeah, like I think, yeah, it's all how to make a positive space. And, for me, it's actually creating space to actually think, you know, whether it is cleaning my workspace, you know, that helps my mindset go, ah, oh, cool. Okay. I'm ready. So it's, for me, it's, yeah, it is those, little things. They're not necessarily, you know, structured, but it's
little details,
little
that makes the big difference.
It's a feeling, isn't it?
100%. Because also, like, I think you and I both value clean
definitely
space, and I think it reflects the way you want your mind to feel.
Definitely,
like you want to feel your mind
uncluttered,
uncluttered and clean, and
definitely.
But you made an interesting point around writing things down. I think many mindset coaches, or even like people in the meditation space, talk a lot about journaling.
Yes,
and I've never really taken advantage of that practice or really got the idea of it until I started doing it on a regular basis. And I think it feels daunting to people because you feel like, oh, what should I be writing about every day? And it's kind of like, I think a lot of
mind.
People overcomplicate it. And yeah. I think, I don't know how to write.
Where do I start?
Yeah. And yeah, as part of the self-development course I did, I also started journaling, and that has really helped get things out of my head on paper, and even helping me set my weekly goals, my monthly goals, and my daily intentions. And I usually like journaling in the evenings before I go to bed. I make a little hot chocolate and I journal.
Love that.
And that just helps me, you know, when I then wake up in the morning and I do my exercise and my gratitude practice and my intention for the day, my mind has unconsciously digested what I have journaled about in the evening.
It's parked it in a way.
Then kind of, you know, that helps me find clarity for what I need to do that day.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think, yeah, getting things out of the mind and onto paper is certainly a great way to shift your mind.
Totally, because then it's almost like when you see, once you've seen it written down, it's then when you can really flip it around.
And there's something about that, isn't there? There's writing it down versus, you know, writing it in your notes on your phone, like you visually.
You let it go.
Yeah.
You see it, yeah. You flip it. Either you flip it or you let it go. Or you take action on it. Depends what you've written down.
Yeah.
So in terms of motherhood specifically, have you noticed any like big mindset shifts since becoming a mother?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think for me, it's about understanding that I actually can't do everything, and to manage my own expectations and what's actually achievable. So I'm actually not setting myself up to fail, because I'm not Superwoman and I can't do everything. So I have to realize that, as much as I want to take control of everything, because I am partly a control freak, but prioritizing, you know,
that's
making things a priority. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And going, okay, well, do I really need to do this right now? It doesn't need to be done within this time frame. You know, how important is it you know, to do that now or later or, yeah. you know, at all.
It's like almost urgent versus important,
like
right?
A, I love that.
At work to prioritize tasks.
It's true. I feel like I need to have a traffic light system in my head, like going red, urgent, yes, must do now. Green, not so much.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think
you're making an interesting point. I think we have a lot of priorities, but not everything can be a priority all the time.
Definitely.
And sometimes, you know, you have your list of 10 things that are important to you, but you can only ever do three at a time. So you rotate or you prioritize certain things over
Definitely.
Others, and then you switch again because, yeah, to your point, like you can't do it all at all times.
Absolutely. And I think that comes on the back of satisfaction, you know, having the satisfaction when you actually do things.
Yeah. You can, when you are able to, you have this massive list and you... Sometimes it feels like you can't get anything done, and sometimes it's good to have those little things to just tick off.
Exactly. And
satisfy.
You prioritize those things because they're going to clear your, you know, lists. And
sometimes you actually have to do the bigger tasks
yes,
that will take longer.
That's right.
But it means the list is not necessarily going to get
That's right.
Shorter.
So it's a constant battle in your head of which comes first and how to prioritize those things. But, you know, when I can, you know, delegate those tasks and realize that I can't do anything and everything and to not be a control freak. But, you know, when things don't go to plan, for me, you know, how to be flexible, how to be adaptable and actually okay.
No better teacher than a toddler.
Yeah, absolutely.
When it comes to things not going to plan and teaching us to be more adaptable and
absolutely.
Flexible. And sometimes that's really triggering for me personally because I feel I like to be in control so much. He's my greatest teacher, Theo, because thanks to him, I am definitely more adaptable and flexible. And even just having all my, you know, the mother's group and in general mom friends, when you realize that nothing ever goes to plan and, you know, you plan an activity, you meet up and there's always half of the group that's late or this like half of the group that drops out last minute. But none of us judges the other parent because you just know
you
what
get
it's
it.
Like and you get it and you just adapt.
It's forgiving. You definitely becomes, you know, it's forgiving, isn't
it? It's forgiving. That's right. And just being... I guess a bit more empathetic and understanding of others as well. That then applies to, once again, everything in life, which is, again, something that motherhood teaches us all.
Absolutely. And I guess when we think about affirmations and mantras that you live by, what are some of the ones that you live by? I know that you have lots and I like to think that I live by some of these too, but I know that you certainly remember and recite things. What are some of the ones that you live by?
That's a great question. I love affirmations and mantras to just keep me accountable and on track with my goals. And they're usually like phrases and sentences that are kind of linked to my personality, of course, my values, but also my goals. Some of the things I focus on are as well as phrases that help me overcome certain limiting beliefs I have or certain weaknesses. For instance, like being a control freak isn't always a good thing and it actually can drive me really mad. So one of the things that's actually comes from the Serenity Prayer, but like focusing on the things I can control and letting go of the things I can't and knowing the difference because I think sometimes understanding what you cannot control is the most important part. And once you have understood that, like you can easier let go of it.
Yeah, that's cool.
The other thing is I don't work, I do passion and purpose. Like, again, aligned to my
values.
I mentioned earlier. Consistency over perfection. Done is better than perfect because I think I am a natural perfectionist as well.
Yeah, me too.
And otherwise, sometimes, even with this podcast, you know, like it's all new to us. So we're all basically learning by doing, and previous me, before I did the self-development course and really worked on this, like it would have taken me months, years to put this together, and I maybe would have never even launched it.
Yeah, because you wouldn't
because
be
I
happy.
I always get to this point, like I've started like multiple businesses before where I got to a point where it's like, and I would always stop because I always feel like
it's not good
enough. Yeah. Or No, like already so many people doing similar things. I have nothing extra to add. I have no value to add and never gets anywhere. So yeah. I'm really working on this. And
that's kind of
pushing.
Like startup thinking, isn't it? Yeah. Startups, businesses, just do it.
As you just do it. And as long as you keep
you have
improving,
enough. Yeah.
That's it. Good just enough.
Good enough to start. Yeah. And then you can always revisit. But, you know, that's right. That's often what happens with
because
startups.
Otherwise, you just never do anything because, yeah. You always want everything to be perfect and it's not. The other phrase I really love is happiness is an inside job. Because so many times we let external factors that happen in our life determine how we feel.
Yeah.
But if once you realize that no matter what situation is thrown at you, and look, there are some really shitty situations in life.
Absolutely.
To know that it's your responsibility and you can always choose how you feel and react, that's really empowering.
Yeah.
Once you really truly embody it, like no matter what happens, you know that your internal dialogue and the way you manage it is what determines, you know, your happiness. And that
that's
is so
cool.
freeing.
It's,
like,
yeah,
because
it's empowering
you feel like
too.
Well, I depend on anybody else to be happy. It's just me.
Yeah. That's cool. I like that a lot.
Then also growth happens out of my comfort zone is another big one. Again, also related to, for instance, business a lot, because I think a lot of the times we feel like scared. When we're scared to do something, it's usually what we should be doing. Because I always tell myself as well, if I continue doing what I've always done, I'll be where I am. Like
that's
I
right. There's no progress.
Be, no, that's no. There's no progress. So in order to change something, in order to achieve what you want, in order
something
to achieve
to
your
change.
Goal, something needs to change. You need to actually take that step. The other affirmation I have as well is the universe has got my back. Things will always turn out fine. And that's really, again, I think reassuring knowing that. No matter what happens, like things will always work out in the end. Even they might not turn out the way I expected them to, but I'll be fine. I trust that the universe has got my
it
back.
It works out.
It will all
exactly.
work out, maybe in a different way, but it will all be fine.
That's right. I sometimes think about that in terms of work, you know, when you're overwhelmed with the amount of work. You know, you have somehow you get it done.
Yeah.
Somehow you manage.
So talking about things not going to plan, how do you manage when things go downhill or there's a lot of pressure and stress?
I think there are many things that contribute to pressure and stress these days. It's you know fairly broad term, but daily from deadlines to at work to simple things like getting somewhere on time, you know, and trying to get things done in your day. I heard once being a working mum is like having 100 tabs open in your brain.
Yeah, with 5 being frozen and you don't know where the music is
I
coming
love that.
From. I
oh
saw
my gosh.
That, a meme the other day on Instagram that literally said that. And I was like, yeah.
I think I saved that. I was like, maybe I even sent it to you, but I was like, that is so true. You know, you've got 100 things that are going through your mind. And again, for me, writing things down just really helps me manage the pressure and the stress because I'm not thinking things over and over again in my mind just in case I forget them. So, you know, professionally, I like to write a list in work, either at the start or the end of my day that really kind of just puts pen to paper about the things that I have to still do and the things I can leave now and do tomorrow. You know, and I think I naturally categorize that sort of stuff from whatever it might be that I need to do for work. Then there might be a life admin list. There might be a grocery list on the other side. But, you know, the idea of needing to get it out of your mind is super important for me. And that helps me manage the stress and that makes me feel more in control and satisfied that I have all my tabs in order, you know, and I've closed a few. But, yeah, essentially it's about being organized and how to be organized, you know, is very tricky and different for everybody.
Yeah, that's right. It's different for everybody because some people, you know, the way they organize themselves can look very differently and everybody just needs to figure out their own way of doing it.
Definitely.
But for me, again, being a control freak, I don't like external factors to determine my stress levels. I actually hate that thought. So again, I try to manage my stress levels as something that I manage internally. And look, easier said than done. Not always possible. Sometimes the things do get the better of me and I feel overwhelmed and stressed and pressured. But I really remind myself back to the affirmation from earlier that happiness is an inside job as well. Like it's the same kind of thinking where, you know, you pause, I pause and I tell myself, look, not ideal, but don't stress, take 3 deep breaths and figure out a way forward. It's about managing your pressure internally rather than letting external factors stress you out.
Mm. Yeah, and that's obviously easier said than done, isn't it? But, you know, doing that to your best, you know, possible ability is important, isn't
Can
it?
Can certainly help manage it, yeah.
Mm.
And talking mum guilt now, I think that's another thing that adds to our pressure. Stress level and pressure. Yes.
Absolutely. Do you do mum guilt? Are you a guilty mum? I think everybody is.
Nobody can really turn that off completely. I think once you become a parent, like you always feel that they are your priority. But I do think I've learned over the last few months that actually, you know, feeling guilty doesn't help me or them. Because it creates that negative loop where, you know, you feel guilty for instance, working or for doing something for yourself. But then if you just stop doing the things you love doing or you turn down a job or you try to be present, then your mind is not fully in it either. Because then you might be with your child, but your mind is thinking about work. Or you might even, as I found myself, feeling quite resentful towards your family for not being able to go to the gym or, you know, take that time to do something that you want to do. So I think it's about finding a middle ground and a compromise that works for your family. So even thinking about your partner, like what's your partner doing that fills their cup? What are you doing that fills your cup?
And helping each other.
Helping each other, making sure that every person still gets to do those things and
being flexible,
obviously
isn't it?
Flexible, but also then finding activities as a family. So it's a lot to manage and it doesn't always work. And sometimes something falls short and you do feel guilty, like when you prioritize something too much compared to something.
Definitely.
So all those variables, you have to balance them prioritize them equally. That's not always a possibility. That's where mom guilt, I think, comes in. But generally speaking, I decided I no longer do mom guilt as a general rule.
Good on
because
you.
I just feel that, yeah, I'm a better mom when I prioritize myself and I focus as well on the things I want to do and I need to do.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I'm a big softie and I'm still learning to deal with mum guilt. You know, I guess it often comes down to when I leave Toby with somebody that, you know, is his dad or, you know, his grandma. So there's no need for any guilt there because he loves hanging out with both of them. But, you know, it's essentially if I wanted to organize a girls trip or, you know, even the tears at daycare, you know, they make me feel guilty that I'm leaving him there. But, you know, I think it comes down to me knowing that it's actually good for his development, you know, him getting used to being around people other than me. So again, flipping my mindset to, you know, realize that I'm actually benefiting him and therefore myself realizing that he'll be just fine.
That's a really interesting thought. I think sometimes, you know, being a good parent is not necessarily doing the easy thing. Sometimes you have to do the hard thing for everybody's sake.
Definitely.
And that's not always, sometimes as well, that goes as well with the sleeping. And I know a lot of people have very different opinions on that. But, you know, toddlers, they don't know when they when they're tired and have to go to sleep. Some of them need a little extra help. you know, but the parent knows that that's the right thing to do. It's not always the easy thing. Or, you know, dropping the kid at daycare and they might cry for 5 minutes, but then they have the best day playing
with
their mates.
That's right. And the moment you're gone, they're totally fine.
Absolutely.
And they love it.
And but it's a struggle. It doesn't mean you don't
feel.
It doesn't affect you.
Yeah.
That's right.
But
you can you can feel affected without feeling mom guilt, I
think. Definitely.
So it's about, you know, how do you
acknowledge those feelings?
Exactly. Saying like, oh, you know, that makes me upset that he's crying right now. But then that's it. You leave it there.
Mm, yeah.
You know, because you know better.
He'll be fine. Like, he'll I think it's fine. At the end of the day, you know that he'll be fine. So,
totally.
And yeah, as I said, it's behavioral development. It's it will be, you know, in time, he'll know how to deal with this. And
yeah,
you
and
will.
I think as long as you make decisions based on the greater good of your family, so whether that is I need to prioritize myself right now because it benefits my whole family in the long run, then why should you feel guilty about that? If you just forget about yourself and your own needs, like it's not going to serve your family because you will feel it.
Yeah, definitely.
It will get to you.
Absolutely. And are there any people, I guess, who have taught you in your life to recognize that in a way, or are there any influences that you follow, or, you know, people who inspire you to be better or recognize those feelings, or, you know, what kind of has brought you to that point?
I think that's really interesting because I never really thought much of coaches or mentors in that sense. And people keep saying, oh, you know, if you want to launch a business, like one of the first things you should get is a mentor. And I really, truly see the value in mentorship now, because over the last few months, I have invested in quite a lot of different programs and courses and mentorships, if you will. So from like a fitness and nutrition coach to like a mindset coach, and I'm also looking for a business coach, actually. Haven't found one yet. But I think it's one of the most valuable things you can actually invest money in. It's hard to pay that money because you're like, oh, you can't really see the outcome.
Yeah, well, you don't know.
It's not like going to the shop.
That's right.
Paying like $100 and you take your dress. Yeah. And
it's not guaranteed return of investment. You don't know if it will.
You get as much out of it as you put in. And it's not about the money.
Yeah.
It's about how much you actually invest, you know, in yourself.
That's right.
So because you can do the self-development course, if you don't do the practices every day and if you don't actually follow through with the actions, then well, that's obviously not gonna work.
And I think you're one of those people who have actual, you know, real discipline. But I think you do really you know, with fitness, with life in general. But I think what mentorship does bring is accountability, and it helps you be accountable.
Yeah. And it helps you plan. Like one of the main benefits I've found with having those mentors and coaches is it takes out the planning and guesswork. So for instance, with the nutrition, one of the main reasons I could never really stick to a healthy eating routine is because I just was so overwhelmed with planning meals, doing the grocery shopping, cooking. And now, especially since Theo, like I even have less time to do those things. So now I get my meal plan based on my goal. Goes to the point where I get sent a shopping list. I literally do my shopping and I cook what I'm told to cook.
Awesome.
And they're all easy recipes.
It's another thing that takes a decision out of your day.
Absolutely. And
that's great.
I think that's what's been really helpful, just helping with the organization and planning, and also trusting that expert, that they're experts for a reason. You can't be an expert in everything.
Yeah. That's absolutely true.
It's one of the key learnings I'm still also adapting is I can't do everything myself, like you said in the beginning of this conversation.
Absolutely.
When I started looking into launching businesses in the past, I felt like because I was struggling to invest, I would say, oh, I can do this. I can learn. I can I can absolutely build a website myself. I can do the branding. I can do this. I can do that.
Yeah.
And yes, I maybe can, but everything takes me like 10 times longer.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, no.
And where could you be spending that time better
totally
to do that sort of stuff? And I think that even comes down to, like, for example, a cleaner for, you know, helping you.
It's not the best use of your time.
No.
It's understanding what's the best use of your time.
Prioritize, you know, priorities of where can you spend your time and where can you actually delegate or outsource.
For your buck.
Yeah. Totally. Outsource the stuff that actually you don't want to do or this week I don't feel like doing this. Yeah. So, you know, it, of course that's a luxury for some people too, because, you know, all this stuff, you know, costs money. Sure. And yes, you know, you
and try. And I still struggle with it as well, because I'm, you know, business-wise, I think I tend to want to do most things myself still, mainly because it's an investment.
Totally.
I don't necessarily have the money for right now.
Yeah.
Because when you create a new business, you know, where do you define the line between making this investment to start or grow and not yet having enough money coming in to pay for it? So it's always like the outweighing
the juggle and the struggle.
Pros, cons. And but yeah, I think I definitely see the value in mentorship and coaching.
Yeah.
It has definitely really transformed my mindset and my life really over the last few months. What about you? Any inspirations?
I think mentors. Inspirational
people.
Yeah. I think, I'm fortunate enough when it comes into the idea of mentorship through work. I've been very lucky to work with some inspiring people during my career. You know, I have friends in leadership roles as well, a boss, now a friend I call my design mum, and colleagues who I've been lucky enough to learn from as well throughout my career. So when I even started as a designer straight out of college, I landed a job in a great little design firm in Redfern. And I was lucky to work alongside a senior creative who really took me under his wing, you know, and I learned so much from just sitting next to him and watching him work. And although, you know, that is a bit of a luxury too, because you can't do that in all organisations, you know, you need to produce as well as, you know, learn. But, you know, I sat next to him and I saw how he designed, I saw how he thought, I saw how he came up with concepts. And, you know, I learned so much and I was really very grateful for him to, just really take me under his wing. And I think you know, that sort of opportunity is pretty hard to come by these days, because we often don't go in an office now. So as people and graduates starting out, that's quite tricky, you know, and it's really tough to really get hands-on. Yeah, hands-on training is just really tough in organisations at the moment. You know, yes, we are getting back into the office and all that sort of stuff, but I feel like there's a disconnect in how to graduate. I wouldn't even know how graduates learn on the job. You know, yes, you can get a manual and read stuff, but it's not the same as one-on-one sort of learning, or learning from colleagues.
I think specifically with design, a lot of it is quite technical as well, just learning all the programs.
Definitely.
And
stuff. Yeah.
And I think it's so much easier to sit next to the person and actually see from the keys they're pushing, you're not pressing
definitely.
To
even
shortcuts.
Definitely. Yeah. And just thought processes, like how do you come up with that sort of idea? You know, it's learning through osmosis. It's, you know, understanding learning a process. And learning by doing. So I definitely think having a mentor, you know, is really valuable. And I in terms of business coach, we haven't found the perfect business coach either. But, you know, we're definitely interested in finding a business coach to take our business.
Any business coach out there, calling all business coaches, please help us.
You know, just to kind of keep you accountable. Yes, you know kind of what to do. Like, we are in the business of branding and we are in the business of strategy. So, but I think it's just about the accountability factor and really keep working on your own self and your brand and your future, you know, and really helping us as a business set some big, hairy, audacious goals. You know, what are those things? What will take us to the next level?
What does the next level look like? So in a nutshell, what do we do to keep up a positive mindset, and what do we do in terms of activities to fill our cup? I think for me, it's definitely about having this very structured morning and evening routine, you know, with activities for my mind, body and soul, including exercise, meditation, daily affirmations, journaling, a healthy nutrition. And in terms of activities that fill my cup, it's definitely beach time. I try to go twice a week. Not always possible, but the ocean is my happy place and therefore I make it my priority.
And lucky enough to have it close by, which is
very close by. Such a big privilege. And catching up with girlfriends as well definitely fills my cup. And going for a walk and listening podcasts.
Yeah, I get it. Totally. I think for me, I guess if we had to think about what's the key outtake of all this mindset talk, is really reframing your thinking to be positive. You know, when you do have those negative, you know, thoughts in your mind, how can you shift those to be positive? And I think that works for me. And essentially list writing and time management that comes with that. And, you know, it's organization. For me, it's really just how can I be more organized and manage my time and manage all the tabs in my head, you know. So I think that, for me, helps my mindset remain clear, uncluttered, calm, exactly. So I think that's, you know, and I think of myself as a semi-organized person. I know that I could certainly do things better and, you know, we're all learning on our journey of life. But, you know, also exercise for me too, you know, eating well, feeling good, that helps my mindset remain positive. And, you know, I love hanging out with my girlfriends and if I can get a walk in on the weekend and, you know, have a coffee out or brekkie out. Yeah.
We have the same.
I love that.
Filling our cup activities.
And it's, you know, who the people who I hang around and I love, you know, the energy that they bring and, you know, when we can catch up after a busy week, like I think it's really nice.
This podcast, to be honest, was meant to do for us, right?
Definitely. Absolutely.
Having that.
The downtime.
Chat. That's right.
That's right. And actually just getting it all out. And I think it's all about positivity and what fills your cup and what are those things that make you feel good.
Yeah. Thank you guys for joining us this week.
Yeah, thank you.
We hope you got some valuable information out of this, us chatting through how we manage our mindset, how we keep positive, what kind of daily routines and rituals we follow. And yeah. We hope you tune back in next week.
See you.
Bye.